Welcome to a new episode of These Go to 11. Let's turn it up. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to These Go to 11, an unchurchy conversation about everyday faith. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. This not only helps us to get our content out there, but also helps us to find out what you, our faithful listeners, think. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to These Go to 11. Once again, I'm Nathan Bell. Joining me as always, Greg Dutcher. Greg, what's going on, man?
What up, playa?
What up, playa?
I haven't dropped that one for a while, so I thought I'd bring it back for old times. You know what's up, dude? As soon as we ended last week's podcast, I thought I had it up there the entire last 20 minutes, but dude, you had me so riveted with our Oscar discussion.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I will see if people liked it. I just had fun talking about those movies with you. Mm-hmm. And I think we helped each other a little bit because we teased out a few things that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the episode, I was talking about Spielberg, mm-hmm. joking about having him on as a guest. So I'm happy to say, to the surprise of everyone here, I don't have him on as a guest, but I did. Remember, I said, "Yeah, did Schindler's List? Did it win an Oscar?"
Yeah.
Dude, it was nominated, but did not win in these following five categories: best costume design, best sound, best makeup, best supporting actor in Ralph Fiennes, and mm-hmm. best actor in Liam Neeson. So they were nominated, didn't win. It did win. Best art direction, best cinematography, best film editing, best original score, best adapted screenplay, best director, Mr. Spielberg, best picture. So, yeah, it did pretty well.
Right.
It was nominated.
It was a neat little film.
Yeah, cute little movie. It was nominated for 12 Oscars, of which it took home 7.
Yeah.
I mean, people were jumping for joy if they got nominated in one category, even if they didn't win, they got that nod. So, yeah, I'd say it did pretty well. This was a 93 film, so this would have been the 94 Oscars. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Golden Globes, you know, cleaned house, every possible, you know, same thing. It won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay. Neeson, though, never won in any real substantive award for that role. And it was, I don't know who he would have been up against that year. Actually, yeah. I do. I think in 93, I think Tom Hanks won it for Philadelphia.
Okay.
Because I think he won back-to-back. He won it for Philadelphia, and then I think he won it the following year for Forrest Gump.
Okay.
It's happened just a couple of times. So... just to tie up that loose end from last week.
Yeah, no, that's fair. This week we are talking about things that we're watching.
Yes.
So you know, Greg, you and I are both movie buffs, TV buffs.
Yes.
So we love us some good Netflix, HBO Max, Hulu,
Paramount Plus.
That's right.
Sometimes even, dude, you're going to talk about a show on regular primetime network television.
Yes.
Right? Like, what are we living in the 80s?
I know, right?
ABC, CBS, NBC.
That's right.
And then Fox a little bit later.
I guess I'm a little more modern because while it's regularly, you know, syndicated program, or not syndicated, but scheduled program on TV, I am watching it through...
probably Hulu or...
Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah, of course, right. That's how it is now.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. It is weird. Sometimes, dude, I do miss when, like, it's just weird. You would watch. People waited for something. Yeah. Nobody really waits for anything now. Yeah. It's just there or isn't there.
Yeah.
If you're really caught up, because Netflix for a while was like dropping, or maybe it wasn't Netflix, was it Max? Because Netflix drops everything at once usually,
everything at once. Max will do incremented drops.
Yes.
Disney Plus will do incremented drops.
Yep.
Paramount, actually most of them now will do incremented drops.
Interesting.
They won't do it all at once. I think Netflix is probably one of the only ones out there that drops it all at once.
They just drop all the content.
Yeah.
And that, practically speaking, if you get to a show late, it's like that.
Yeah.
So if you, there was a show that, that was showing weekly on Hulu.
Yeah.
If you're 6 months later, it's like having Netflix.
Yeah.
But it does show, if you're really excited about a show,
yeah,
you do get a little bit of the taste of how it used to be.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do, like for instance, dude, I think I've told this before, the first television Lisa and I ever bought.
Yep.
Was in May of 98.
Okay.
Because we had it, we married in August of 94, and I don't know, my parents, her parents gave us a TV. You had an extra TV. So we had it in the house, and then it gave up the ghost.
Yep.
And dude, it was a different time because we were without it, I want to say almost a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and now Lisa was working as a nurse, odd hours, and I was a intern at a church and doing some seminary. It was that was the year. Yeah, it makes sense. And Lisa sometimes kept, there was a year you didn't really watch TV, and we watched it, or we were once we were back watching it again, probably 95, 96. You know, we're watching Seinfeld.
Yep.
And the finale of Seinfeld. Yeah. Came out in May of 98.
Yep.
And like that week, our TV gave up the ghost.
Okay.
So we actually bought our TV at the Best Buy on Security Boulevard.
Yep.
West side of the Beltway. We were living kind of in Halethorpe, Arbutus at the time, which I've started down the path. Kind of around that same time, the podcast Serial,
yes,
which explores the death of a young girl,
yep,
in that area, Woodlawn area, probably happened at that Best Buy.
Yeah.
So sorry, weird detail, but around the same time, I think 99, we did it in 98. So, and the reason we bought the TV, now that I'm back on track, is because everybody was going to be watching Seinfeld.
Right.
At 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock that night. It was the last one. Just wholly, totally different vibe now.
Yeah.
With TV. And I do sometimes miss that expectancy. It's not quite, it's still there for live sporting events.
Yeah, sure.
That, you know, Super Bowl, everybody, same time it starts.
Yep.
So that is the nice thing about a live event.
Yeah.
It kind of gets us all focused on the same page.
So. Well, it's you know, we've talked about it before. It's that sense of community, right? We're all doing this thing together at once, which is fascinating, right? Because the streaming services have integrated these watch parties, right?
Yes.
Where you can gather because there is something about that has been lost because of the way that people consume media now.
I agree. And it again, we talked last week, you know, some of the themes in the movies, wired for community, right? You do see it.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about this with Jeff Smith, Matt's brother.
Yep.
This past Sunday or a Sunday or two ago. And we were just talking about movies like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
That sometimes you watch a movie and if you watch it by yourself, oh, okay. And there is something that's transformative when you watch in a group.
Yes.
Like I remember, dude, all the hype on Princess Bride and I watch it by myself and it's like, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, I watch it with college friends and I was obsessed with it.
Yes. Yep.
There's like a folklore and an interactive nature.
Yep.
And people start, you know, my name is Inigo Montoya.
Right.
And everybody's quoting it and you're just all in.
Yeah.
And it's that, it's such a fascinating thing for me. Not that you can't enjoy consuming individual content. It's
sure.
Nice sometimes if I'm in a place and like, oh, I got my headphones. I can watch this show while I'm waiting a half hour.
Yep.
But there's something about that social connection.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I've been looking forward to this podcast.
Yes.
Because we are socializing about things we watch.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm excited to talk with you about the stuff that you've been digging on. And I think reality is we've both been watching. I don't know that we're going to have any crossovers on what we've been watching.
I'm thinking we might not.
So it's going to be fascinating to, you know, to be able to talk about it and, you know, part of talking about it, right? I talked about last week the idea that, you know, when I was younger and I had the ability to watch things with people, right?
Yes.
It's like, you know, we got to sit down and watch this together because you're really going to like this. This is going to be really good.
Yep.
I don't get to do that that often. I have to drum it up, and I have to get people interested so that they go and watch it on their own. And I know that at the recording of this podcast, you still haven't seen The Gray Man.
No, dude.
But I'm going to get you to do it.
I am. I'm saying it right now, dude. Special, maybe summer, individual episode, bonus episode, Gray Man podcast.
All right. I've got another proposition for you.
Ooh.
Before this month is out.
Yep.
You and I do what we used to do in the old days.
Oh, dude.
And we get some food.
Yep.
We put it in.
Yes.
And then we podcast.
Nathan, let me just say this. Hallelujah. Oh, wait. Maybe I shouldn't use hallelujah music for that, but I'm all in, dude.
All right. Before the end of April, that is what we're doing.
We're doing it. We are doing it because I...
Special bonus episode on The Gray Man.
Dude, I'm all there. That's what I needed. I needed that kind of motivation. Of course, Lisa's going to hear this and say, well, you know, we've been talking about you cleaning the garage. I said, Lisa, this is a divinely sanctioned mission.
This is about changing lives.
It's changing lives. I can't worry about petty little earthly things like an organized garage. What does that have to do with the kingdom? You and I watching Gray Man. Eating food.
You couldn't even get through that statement.
I couldn't even get the sentence out. It reminds me, speaking of TV, there was a, what was it called? I could look it up and probably find the actor too. I call it like a cheap, second-rate version of King of Queens. There was a show for a while. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes. You've talked about this one before.
The scene I remember is the guy comes home. And it wasn't a terrible thing, like he was cheating on his wife, but I don't know. He was out watching the football game with his friends, and he not telling his wife the truth about when he could have come home earlier for work or whatever.
Yep.
She kind of bust him. And anyway, you know, she meets him at the door. She goes, oh, that's interesting that when I called over so-and-so. He goes, oh, no, what are you talking about? That was just because of such and such. She goes, oh, really? Because they actually said you didn't do that. He goes, no, I was. That's because I nah, I got nothing. Dude, I felt like that. You just completely give up. You accept defeat, whatever the consequences are. It's like, can we just have dinner, or I'm going to sit down and watch the news? Oh, my goodness, dude. I have to look up what that show was. But, dude, let me start. I'll put it on you.
All right.
Tell me a show you enjoy or what have been watching.
Yeah, I will start with two that Joy and I have been watching together, and then I'll do some that I've been watching on my own. But I'll start with the first one. This is kind of an old show. I think 2004, 2005 is when it came out. But How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
I had not seen that before, so this is a new show to me and to Joy. And we've been digging on it. You know, I really what got me into it, I had no interest in seeing it.
Yeah.
But you know, Facebook has the algorithm thing that they start,
you
start looking at certain things and then other things start popping
up. They know you, dude.
Yeah. And a lot of clips from How I Met Your Mother started really showing up on my feed. And so I started looking at those and I was like, okay, I want to start watching this show.
Wow.
So I think we're in season 5 or 6 right now.
Yeah.
I think there are 9 seasons.
I think so. Yeah. So, I think it is 9 seasons.
You know, we're moving, I mean, half hour episodes when you're sitting on the couch grading papers.
Oh,
and
you
stuff,
can fly through those, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, because without commercials.
Yeah, well, 20? It's Hulu.
So oh, Hulu, so they do have them.
They do have them, but it's still half hour.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, you get home, you know, 7 o'clock at night, and you're not going to bed till 10 or 11, you easily get through half a season.
Can knock out a bunch. Yeah. I do like that about half hour shows. Dude, don't you think? I know, I haven't watched that show completely through. I think that's one of those Lisa and I are going to pick up one day, because, she may have watched it with Samantha and finished it. But that show really has a really talented core cast.
Oh, it does, yeah.
They're all really good. It's sort of, you know how Seinfeld, you had the 4?
Yes.
They do as well.
Yes.
Actually, they really have the 5.
Yeah.
Because, who's the actor that plays Doogie Howser?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Who, slimy yet quite hilarious right. character in many ways. Yeah, they're kind of a nucleus of five, right? Because yeah. you got Jason Segel.
Yep.
And his...
Allison Hennigan.
Yes. Hennigan. Yep. Who's great. You've got, I call her Agent Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, Colby Smulders.
Yes, yes, and the main guy.
Yeah, which is funny because I don't actually know
his I don't either. Name. He's the main guy. Yeah. I've seen him in a lot. Dude, they're so good.
They are, yeah.
Each character is so distinctive.
Yes.
And just really, really well developed characters.
Yes.
That after a few episodes, like you're all in.
Yeah.
On yeah. just wanting to know what's going to happen.
On, yeah.
yeah. And what's happening in their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree 100%. You know, and you actually, you find out really early on that these characters that are in his life, I mean, these are lifelong friends.
Yes.
You know, they call, you know, he's having this conversation with his children, you know, about these people and his story and how he yeah. met their mother. And
what year it does it, is it like 2030?
It's 2030.
Wow. That
is, yeah, sitting
Isn't
down and having
scary,
the conversation.
Isn't that scary, dude, that we're kind of getting...
We're closer to that time frame than we are the beginning of the show.
Dude. It's kind of like the future of Back to the Future is right. now almost 10 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
October 2015.
And we still don't have hoverboards.
We don't have hoverboards, man. But we do have the internet, which they didn't really have. They had video faxing.
That's true.
Yeah, I thought so. And the premise, right, dude, of How I Met Your Mother. Well, you tell us, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, his goal is to inform his children yeah. how he met their mother. And so, you know, he starts off, every episode starts off, you know, this is leading up to that moment and yeah. what's happened.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I'm frustrated because I actually know how it ends.
Okay.
Not because I've seen it, but Samantha and Lisa talked about it and
yep.
I'll still go back and watch it. I will not obviously say a word.
Sure.
Because isn't part of it is you're kind of guessing.
Yes.
In light
who
of
it is
who it is. Yeah. You think it's maybe yeah. not. And, you know, it'll all come to an end. I know Lisa and Samantha said they found it satisfying.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because obviously watching, as we talked about, right? I mean, the show is long done, so all the episodes are up.
Oh, yeah.
I could see how fascinating it would be watching this show live.
Yeah.
You know, because the reality is, like you said, there's that component of, oh, is it this person? Is
right.
this the one? You know,
right.
because you know, live, you don't know how many seasons they're going to have. You don't know how long it's going to go on.
Right.
So you might be thinking at every turn, oh, this is the one, this is the one. And so it's just, it's interesting and fascinating to see how they play that out.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, I've enjoyed all the episodes. If I haven't enjoyed an episode, I can't remember one that stands out as being particularly bad.
Right.
They have a long running gag of, mm-hmm. you know, the slaps, right? The five yeah. slaps.
Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so there are threads throughout the show that make it worthwhile tracking and following.
It's a cool concept. It's one of those shows that has, and comedies can do this especially, where there's sort of an overarching narrative.
Yes.
That you can, what I love about it, you can push it along,
yeah.
or you don't even have to.
Yes.
And can always come back to it. You think of The Office,
yep.
was like that. There's an overarching narrative with Jim and Pam and
yep.
Michael mainly. Those kind of three. The other characters, you get some, but there's some key events. So are Jim and Pam going to be together? And are they going to stay in the office if they are? And
yep.
family and all that. But it's kind of like you can almost picture that writer's room. Yeah, these next four episodes, we don't need to touch on any of that.
Right.
Because they've got really fun ideas
yes.
for those individual stories. And yeah, How I Met Your Mother
yeah.
does that really well.
Yes.
Because there are times where you,
yeah,
okay, this is just a goofy,
right.
oh, we have a clear misunderstanding that we're going to operate on.
And, yeah. What are some of those called? Like the bottleneck episode or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. good show, dude. So now for people listening,
yeah,
I think I know this, but we might want to ask if we've got. Yeah, you know, there's always kind of a, okay, could I watch that with my whole family?
Yeah,
could I not?
I would say I wouldn't watch this with anyone anyone younger than like 15, 16 year old.
I think I agree with you.
You know, I don't think there's anything overt or explicit
right.
in there, but there's certainly a lot of themes.
There are some, sexual references, themes, et cetera, that are in some of the humor, et cetera. But obviously it was a prime time half hour comedy.
Yeah.
There's no fear of showing something
sure.
or anything like that. But I was just wondering, you know, we've talked about the middle before.
Yes.
Middle you can watch is the whole family.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that. But this one's probably, older teenage kids, family, you can.
And I think even too, like, you know, because of the themes, there are even things that are like embarrassment factors that you might just be like, I might watch this with my grown children who are, you know, who understand a lot of this stuff. I'm not necessarily going to watch this with my children
right.
who are still living under my roof type of thing.
Of course.
You know, so I think even with the content not being explicit or anything like that, I think there's even parts of that are in there that you might look at and be like, yeah, this is just, watching, you know, as an adult, quote unquote, watching the sex scene with grandma. Like, no, you don't want to be doing that on any level, you know? And so I think there are themes and episodes that you're like, I just don't want to be watching this with my kids.
Dude, nothing more awkward. My late mother-in-law, Connie, you know, who I love very dearly and was like a mother to me very much. 1997 is when Titanic came out.
Oh, yes.
And that was before the day and age of crowded theaters, et cetera. Or, I mean, of pre-assigned seating where you could do it. So it ended up, and I can't remember exactly why, I ended up sitting with my in-laws. So, and Lisa was behind me with her brothers. It was just kind of a crazy, probably had something to do with a popcorn or whatever. It was fine. So we're watching Titanic because it was the big movie at the time,
right.
of course. And, you know, it's a scene with, I'll just say, and a car
right.
on the boat. I'll just leave it at that. And it's not, it didn't really show, but the intensity of that scene and the steaminess quite literally was,
right.
And I'm sitting right next to Lisa's mother. That was uncomfortable.
Right.
Honestly, that may be the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
Yeah.
And she, I know, was uncomfortable.
Right. Like,
wow. Yeah. So, it's really windy out there today.
At least nobody suffered.
Yeah. Exactly, dude. Or sometimes when you're watching TV, like at a sporting event, my goodness, some of the commercials that come on.
Yeah.
And the details, and you're sitting with, do I really have to be seeing this?
I know.
With my daughter sitting here next to me on a certain medications and all this sort of stuff. It's just... remember I said in a sermon not long ago, dude, I know some families said we don't have a TV at all. I understand it.
Sure.
I really do.
Yeah.
Dude, you and I love it too much. Mm-hmm. I ain't doing that. I know you're not doing it either.
No.
We'll just live and navigate the awkward
That's
moments
right.
when they come. But you said you had a second show, dude.
Yeah. So the other one that Joy and I are watching together is called Tracker.
Mm.
So,
seen the ads.
Yeah.
It's the young, not super young, he's probably 40, good looking dude. Yep.
Justin Hartley.
From
This Is Us.
This Is Us, yes.
Yep. So, he actually coincidentally also played Green Arrow on Smallville.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Very
so
cool.
So, that's where I first was introduced to him. And
very cool.
Yeah. So, that has been really interesting. So, basic premise is. Justin Hartley, his character, Coulter Shaw, I believe is the character's name, has been trained and brought up by his father to do all these crazy outdoor adventure skill type things.
Yes.
And He knows how to survive and do all these things, and he knows how to track.
Yeah.
And so he's, some people might call him a mercenary. I forget specifically the job title that he uses for himself,
yeah.
but he basically collects rewards on things that people have lost
wow. or
that have gone missing. And it could be a person. It
yeah.
could be a car. It could be an animal.
And cool concept.
So he comes in and, you know, I mean, we're talking like high end, you know, $50,000, $125,000 rewards
right.
for things that people have lost. And so he works with a little team and he just travels around the country taking these jobs, hunting down things that have that people have lost or people that they've lost that have been missing. And it's really good. I've enjoyed the thought that went into it, the backstory, which is a very slow burn. Mm. You kind of get, you know, a lot up front, but then it's like, okay, we're going to leave you hanging here and we're not going to do too much else with it.
Yeah.
So that's been fascinating and interesting to see as well. I've enjoyed it. It's the formula is kind of the same, right? I mean,
yeah.
you can't do too much different with the formula. Somebody's lost something and he's going to go and find it.
Right, right.
But the different things that are lost and what's going on with each scenario is fascinating.
Very cool. Now, to the point we made about How I Met Your Mother and what comedies do.
Yeah.
Is there any meta narrative that is slowly moving about him?
Him and his family and yeah. what's going on. There's definitely... there's definitely some strife in the family, and
yeah.
so you know that the overarching is leaning toward what are these issues and how are they going to be resolved?
Interesting. Very cool.
He's really, for the most part, you know, separated himself from his family.
Yeah.
He has, you know, his mother, he has an older brother and a younger sister.
Yeah.
And his father has died.
Okay.
And so you're left with like, okay, there is strain and stress. This is
Excuse me.
Thread and theme that is kind of going throughout. Sometimes his family's there, sometimes they're not, but you see like, okay, this is something that is going to be over this whole thing.
Okay.
That
Very cool.
why he's doing what he's doing is because of his family.
Very cool. And this is a new show, right? Because I've
it
just
is.
Seen ads.
It actually aired the night of the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah. So it's what?
Episode
maybe,
six just.
I was going to say five yeah. or six episodes.
Yep.
Very cool. Usually shows like that that drop after the Super Bowl will have a short order.
Yep.
Where they do maybe 6 to 10 episodes and then you see
yep.
did it generate
whether
enough
it does,
and
yeah.
whether it renews. So it sounds like it's good enough. You're hoping...
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, I like the guy's an actor.
Yeah.
I liked him in This Is Us. You know, sometimes you could tell a guy's just like a good-looking dude. And
right.
stuff, but he seems like he can legit act.
Yeah.
You know? And,
I think so. You know, I mean, again, he plays more of a stoic character in this.
Right.
Not to the degree that, you know, Matt Damon played a stoic character in the last Bourne movie where he
right.
only has like four lines.
Right,
like,
exactly. He's basically, you know, a robot. Yeah.
Right. You know, there is definitely, there is range and there is a lot going on. But,
yeah.
you know, the nature of what he does, I mean, a lot of what he's doing is trying to help people with serious situations.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are funny moments that come about, but this is... I would say this is definitely more of an adventure story than anything else.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What about you, dog?
Yeah, dude, I will pick one. Maybe I've talked about it in the past before, but because well, the show has finished, probably for, I don't know, 4 or 6 months now, but we have almost finished it. And that would be The Crown.
Mm.
Lisa and I have watched that together. That's one of the shows that's just ours.
Yep.
Occasionally, if Samantha's around, which is not much, you know, she's very active and busy, she'll watch a little bit with us because mm-hmm. she's sort of interested in history. Who's this? Who's that? It's interesting. There's one more episode to go. Mm-hmm. This has taken us up to the early 2000s.
Okay.
Maybe we're at 2005. So where we are, and there's, I think, only one more episode to go, you've got kind of William and Kate meeting, which is interesting because, you know, Kate's been in the news a lot.
Right.
Because she was not visible for a long time, and then she did a video that she's battling cancer. We don't know much, and there's all kinds of theories, conspiracy theories.
Right.
So it's interesting. I'm still trying to think how I figure out about it. I think the Crown was at its best in the early years. Now, I have to tell myself all the time, wait a minute. And I've heard that the royal family, when Elizabeth and Philip were both living, had some issues with the portrayal.
Right.
And Lisa and I have to remind ourselves, okay, everything, every conversation behind closed doors, we have no idea.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just conjecture.
Sure.
So I'm trying to assess the show from, all right, that's supposed to be Queen Elizabeth. That's supposed to be Prince Philip. But the stories in the first season or two, you had John Lithgow playing Winston Churchill.
Okay, yeah.
That was when The Crown was my favorite.
Okay, yeah.
So my experience, I think Lisa feels a little bit differently. The Crown's interesting because it's basically, there's been three iterations. The Queen is played by Claire Foy in the first two and Matt Smith.
You're right.
Matthew Smith. He's so busy. He's a pastor here.
That's right.
Plays in The Crown and has a British accent. And anyway, he's the prince.
Yep.
So that the first 2 years, they're young years. Then it's Olivia Colman, and I forget the gentleman who plays. He was my least favorite of the three princes in the second era where they're essentially middle-aged.
Okay, yeah.
And Olivia Colman is another, she's good at being the queen. And then the final two seasons, the queen and Philip are played by two other actors. So they've got six actors total playing the two parts.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a show quite do that. At first, I was so disappointed to say goodbye to Claire Foy and Matt Smith. I really liked them because they broke into the show. So I would actually say I've enjoyed each of those iterations a little less.
Okay.
But I still enjoy it enough that I want to finish it.
Sure,
I don't know, dude. The Diana stuff, the Williams stuff, I know a lot of people are interested. Mm. I actually found the older stuff more interesting.
Sure, sure.
It just felt... I don't know, you know, I'm a geek, so I'd say, oh, here's an episode based on this basically landslide in Scotland in the first season. Or here's one where these basically polluted fog set over the city, and I think that episode was called Act of God. So I'm looking up, oh, that really did happen. Oh, this is how Churchill responded. This is what so-and-so did.
Yep.
The later ones, I understand why they're doing it, because the Diana segment... William and Kate, some of the stuff that was happening with Charles and Camilla.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as interested in that.
Do you think part of that is because, I mean, the Diana stuff was so public and so prolific.
Yes.
Not to mention, I mean, we did get a movie about that called The Queen, right?
Yes.
With Helen Mirren.
I think that's right. Yes, you're right. You're right. I didn't see it, but I know of it.
I feel like all that later stuff we have more access to, particularly things from the 2000s and on.
I agree.
There's so much media coverage and so much going on with knowing that information, whether it be news or tabloids or anything like that. Notice how I differentiated those two.
Yes,
yes. That we get so much information that it's almost like why do I need that stuff brought to the cinema? I could go and look up a YouTube video and find the news piece that this is actually based on.
That's a great point. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I'm overly familiar. I'm less interested.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say. There have still been some stellar episodes, but some of the episodes, dude, feel a little bit like work.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, and that's where I'm like, well, I'm going to finish it, but it almost feels like a commitment, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm going to finish it. The one where her sister Margaret dies, because I think she died in 01, 02, and then the Queen Mother died shortly thereafter. Mm. That was powerful because it kind of took me back to the early years. The way they portray the Queen's relationship with her sister, Margaret was a very, she was the edgy one.
Sure.
She was carefree. She would have these epic parties and entertain celebrities, etc., and was kind of the wild and crazy one. And Elizabeth was always proper. Her calling, right. Her duty to represent the establishment was so entrenched.
Sure.
So it was a very, very good show overall. I don't regret watching it, but definitely I would say those early years. I found more captivating. One of the things the show does well, and it's not even trying to, kind of getting to gospel connections a little early, I mean, they're people.
Yeah.
And they're needy.
Yeah.
And they're insecure. And they're sometimes vindictive and backstabby, like all the wealth and the opulence. Sure. I mean, they do a good job with that. The wealth and the opulence of what they have as the royal family is.
Yeah.
Just staggeringly unrelatable, but you're fascinated by it just the same. But yeah, I mean, definitely, you would say, yeah, look at them. they're as messed up as I am.
Right.
You know, as they're portrayed in the story. And the other one, dude, I've thought about which one that I would say I've watched and or Lisa's watched. Friday Night Lights, kind of the same time era as How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
I want to say...
Based on the movie, right?
Yeah, a little later. Yeah, because I think the movie was 06. Mm-hmm. So maybe Friday Night Lights came out around 2010 is my guess. Yep. And the actor, I actually like him as the coach better than Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Yeah, the only returning character to the show was Connie Britton, who it's really interesting. It's the show, I think, kind of redeemed her role because her role in the movie, which I love the movie, is nothing.
Yeah.
She's just Billy Bob Thornton's wife.
Sure.
I feel like she has maybe 10 lines.
Yeah.
And they're very... Oh, honey, everybody, we love you and believe in you. There's no depth. It's just she's
there.
So I think I read where Connie Britton, when they approached her about coming on the show, said she had strong ideas about her character and her character arc and the kind. And it comes out in that show really, really well.
Good.
You'll see a lot of big actors. On that show that you see the most obvious one is Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Who is a later character in the final season or two of that show.
Yeah.
Who plays this uber talented and somewhat cocky, misguided by his controlling father, quarterback.
Okay.
But it's just, here's what I'd say. It's a comfort show.
Okay.
It is very, yeah, there's football, but it's sort of better done CW teen drama.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as cheesy to me. It's not quite as cliche.
Yeah.
It might have a little bit of that in there.
Mm-hmm. The coach that is in the show, is that the same guy that was in Touched by an Angel? Or not Touched by an Angel. Not Touched by an Angel. What was the newspaper one?
Ooh, I'm going to look him up, dude. Kyle Chandler, let's see what he's done for. Played Coach Taylor in Friday Night Lights. And let me see what other shows. If I look at his filmography, and I'll start looking.
I might be thinking of someone else, but...
He's in a great, one of my favorite, often not mentioned sci-fi films.
Okay.
I think it's a show that could have been a movie that could have been better is Super 8.
Oh, okay.
If you ever saw that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's the star of that.
I think that's the same guy. What is the name of that show? Not Touched by It. Where he gets the newspaper and it shows events that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. What? I think I know. It's not Homefront, is it?
No.
Early Edition?
Early Edition. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking
that
of.
That is, yeah. 96 to 2000. You're right. I never saw it, but I know the show. As soon as you said it, he kind of gets what's happening in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays kind of an important role in a short character arc in the early Grey's Anatomy years.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for what other stories he's done.
He was in the most recent Godzilla movies, King of Monsters, and the one Godzilla vs. Kong.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, and I see he looks like he has a main role in a show I want to see that I haven't. Maybe you and I could put his Mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, that looks good.
A lot of people love that show, dude. People in my writing program at Wilkes, some of my friends say, you've not seen Mayor of Kingstown? It's fantastic.
I heard that's a good one.
Yeah, and I love Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
You know, I think he's actually one of the very clearly talented actors in the Marvel universe.
Yes.
You know, and because I've seen him, because he did the war movie, the Iraq movie, where he's
Hurt Locker. Yeah,
he's really good.
Yes.
I mean, this guy can act. So I've always been intrigued by him. So Friday Night Lights, dude, comfort show. They do a really good job of just showing how huge high school football is in Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
It's these impoverished little towns where all the money goes to the football program. Mm-hmm. And dude, these like 80-year-old retirees in that town on the porch are talking about the football game, and in the off season they talk about what the coach can do, etc. Just a enjoyable show. I'll say the final episode, dude, had a single tear rolling down my cheek.
Okay.
From a primetime TV show.
Yeah.
So those are two that we've watched.
Okay.
Back to you, dog.
Yeah. So I mentioned the two that Joy and I watched together. So two that I've been watching on my own. One was Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Dude, I thought you were a Bible-believing Christian. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on, dude. Yes, go on.
So that one is based on the cartoon that came out.
Wait, so is this live action?
This is live action.
Right. I know the one you're talking about now. Yep. Okay,
so
right, yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan took a stab at a movie. It was trash.
Terrible, I heard,
That is a movie. Last week I talked about movies that I could not get any of my life back. That is a movie that I...
Can't get it back.
Can't get it back.
Yep.
The show, I will say, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Okay, sure.
It's respectful of source material. It is very beautifully shot and done. I think I was talking with a friend of mine, and one of the things is, how do you transfer humor into live action, right? Because the show is, the cartoon is very humorous.
Yeah.
Full of charm, very cute. They capture everything well in the cartoon.
Yeah.
I don't know how you transfer that type of humor into reality when you have this epic war that's going on.
Yeah.
I wish they tried.
Right.
But they didn't. But I will say the show is actually very respectful of the source material.
Okay. Yeah.
And it tries to do it justice.
Interesting.
It doesn't always hit. One of the things that I find fascinating is there are a lot of moments that deal with the in-between things from the cartoon. So scenes that you would not have seen in the cartoon, but you know, like, oh, this led to this. It shows a lot of that.
Okay.
And I find that fascinating.
Wow.
So it's a good fantasy story. If you have not seen if you haven't seen the cartoon, and this is kind of your first first entrance into the Avatar universe, I think it's a good entrance into it.
Yeah.
I think if you've seen the cartoon and if you like the cartoon and you try to jump to the live action, you're gonna find disappointment in it.
Yeah.
But I think if you start here and then move into the cartoon, you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
It's probably got a solid PG-13 rating to it. There's nothing sexual in it. There's no language in it, but it is violent. And so it deals with a lot of that violence and things like that. So I enjoyed it, but still not as good as the cartoon
as was.
And I enjoyed the cartoon. And actually, Zach Bartles, we have on record as saying that he thinks that it's a fantastic series, but the one that comes after it, The Legend of Korra, that third season, he thinks is some of the best television of all time.
Wow.
Not for just animation, but just television, period.
Yeah. Wow, dude.
So.
By the way, speaking, and you know me, for whatever reason, dude, as much as I'm a kid at heart, I've never done much of the animation stuff.
Okay.
The exception that my son Ben got me to watch, I don't know, did you see Invincible?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
Dude, it is, I mean, it is dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the violence on that show, I haven't seen the second season.
Yep.
I'll say the ending of the first episode mm-hmm. in the first season is still some of the most, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Moments of anything I've ever seen on TV. You know, it's got a great, I mean, that's J.K. Simmons.
Yep.
He's the main voice.
Was it Omni-Man or something?
I think so. Yeah. Is that his name? And Invincible is sort of the main character, the kid superhero who's kind of learning the ropes and everything. It was interesting, but I broke your stride. You're going to tell me another show.
So the other show that I was watching, season two of Halo came out.
Oh, yeah.
I think I talked about season one last year. Season two of Halo came out.
Some of my students at Towson obsessed with Halo.
It's good.
Yeah.
For a video game to show transfer,
yeah,
this is a good show. They really take time to develop it. The characters are unforgettable.
Yeah.
Season two, I think, takes things to another level.
Yeah.
It's fascinating because it follows a lot of the pieces from the main structure that fans would be familiar with.
Yeah.
But it tells a good story.
Oh.
You know, it's kind of an alien versus human story. So, you know, it's a huge sci-fi element to
it.
But it does it very well. Again, we talk about those themes of exploring identity and who am I, and this really hits on those hard.
Interesting. So, dumb question, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not being a video game guy either. I saw The Last of Us, which we've talked about.
Okay, yep.
Which, you know, obviously based on a video game.
Yep.
And I loved it. I just can't say enough how much I enjoyed that. Lisa liked that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. But
yeah.
Ben talked about it. So, I'll watch it. I mean, zombie apocalypse. I can't believe my wife is watching this.
Right.
And she loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, great acting, really good writing, and just. Yeah, they made it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a video game. So that one I know, those characters, Pedro Pascal's character and the girl, forget her, the girl from
Ellie.
Game of Thrones. Ellie, I think, yes, are the key characters in the video game. Is it the same with Halo, or have they just invented characters out of there?
So you see a lot of characters that you're familiar with. Yeah, there are other characters that you're like, oh, yeah, I remember him, but it's, you know, different, or I remember her.
Okay.
There are some that are invented and
that
made
they've
up.
Invented just for the sake of the show.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think you'd have to almost at some level.
To bring out who you need. But I mean, you have Master Chief, which is the main character. Like, that's the character that you play when you go in the video game.
Yep.
And they develop this whole storyline, which is good. Now, in fairness, I did not move beyond Halo 3.
Okay.
So going deeper into the Halo universe, I'm not as familiar with.
Sure, yeah. I wouldn't be familiar with the first episode, but I might just check it out just because I'm intrigued by it.
It's good. I mean, they like I said, they do a good job. The first episode, I only watched part of, it's funny because I share an account with someone for Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
That person had been watching it and got to the last episode.
Yeah.
And because Paramount Plus does a week to week release, they always do a recap.
Yes.
So I got on and I was watching the recap.
Yeah.
Accidentally, that just kind of popped up as the last thing that was watched. And so I was like, this actually looks really good. And so I started back at episode one and actually got caught up in a very short amount of time and watched the whole series before the other person the final episode.
So cool, dude.
And so really good, really enjoyed it. This time I was actually tracking with the entire series as it was being released. So I just finished the final episode last week when it dropped. Really good. Again, just good development, good characters that they bring out. Really enjoying how they're developing the story. Again, it's different than the video game, but that's okay. I feel like they're staying true to the heart of the story.
Yeah,
and that's what I want to see.
Sometimes that's the choice, right? All right, we're not gonna, we're gonna have to take it somewhere, but yeah. there's a way to stay true. Mm-hmm. Very cool, dude. How are we on time? Because I'm thinking which...
So we're at 50 minutes. So all about right. another 10 minutes to let you wrap up.
Let me drop this.
Yeah.
Because I was debating. There's a few shows I could choose from. Shockingly, there's always something I can say. Now, I've been finished this one for a while, but mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever talked about it here. And dude, at the risk of testing my dear friend Nathan Bell's patience, again, my fundamental flaw is, of course, that I have not yet watched The Gray Man, but we are going to resolve that. Nathan's fundamental flaw that may question even his salvation, I'm sorry, is that he does not enjoy Breaking Bad and has given a fair shake.
He tried
several episodes.
I have.
And just could not get into it.
See, and I think
and I respect
this
it.
This is part of the whole streaming issue that I think, or not stream, but the week-to-week release thing. I started watching it, and I started, and if I could have just kept going with it,
yep.
I think I would have.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
But it got broken up for me.
Yeah.
And then I tried to go back and rewatch, and I couldn't get back into it the second time.
I understand, dude. And I you know how I love Breaking Bad, like a lot of people. Better Call Saul is the prequel.
Yes.
Obviously, that finished, I think, about a year ago.
Yep.
About the same length of time. It's based on Bob Odenkirk's character.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy McGill, who it goes by Saul Goodman as his kind of a phony alias that he uses in his law firm. He is in Breaking Bad, hilarious. He never does much to advance the story.
Mm-hmm.
He's the just great comic relief. You know he's really smart. He's really crafty. What you learn in Breaking Bad is to hang with Walt and Jesse, you're going to be left in the dust if you're dumb,
mm-hmm.
if you make stupid moves. So Saul is perfect for them because he's smart, crafty, can keep up the pace with Walt and Gus and some of the big genius characters.
Yeah.
And so when the show was done, I was pleased to hear that they were going to start working. I think it came out in 2015, Better Call Saul, that ran for 6 full seasons with several breaks, and I think wrapped up last year. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to watch it because Vince Gilligan's won my loyalty, and Peter Gould, who worked with him. Peter Gould's more in the driver's seat in this one.
Okay.
And Vince Gilligan is, from what I've understood, more his kind of right-hand man. In Breaking Bad, it was reversed.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to say, with a year to reflect, I liked Better Call Saul even better than Breaking Bad.
Okay.
I actually think it's the better of the two series. Never thought I'd say it.
Yeah.
I knew it would be good, but it's a show that definitely requires patience because, well, you never got there, dude. The end of Breaking Bad, it's high octane, every episode cliffhanger. Oh my word, it's like, I've got to get to the next thing. I got to get to the next thing.
Sure.
It's like trying to eat one Dorito. One Dorito tastes like more.
Right.
so you just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
And Better Call Saul, you know, which released 2 years after Breaking Bad ended, but it starts like in 2002.
Okay.
The Breaking Bad, the years it covers are real. It took 6 years to cover two. It's like 2008 to 2010. Better Call Saul is largely 2002 to about 2005, 2006.
Okay.
And then there's a time jump.
Okay.
For the final season. I won't say anything else about it. Dude, it is on every level.
Mm-hmm.
Every actor, every story, every character arc, the way it dovetails perfectly with Breaking Bad and brings everything full circle. It's some of the best TV I've ever watched. Mm. So what I loved about it, dude, was I'd love to know, there are some biblical themes that really emerge in that show more than they did in Breaking Bad on redemption, hopelessness, and hope, the demons within ourselves, just brilliantly explored. So that was the one I'd give the plug to.
Now, let me ask you this question. Would I need to watch Breaking Bad to understand and watch Better Call Saul?
Great question. No.
Okay.
Now, having said that, there'll be a few moments you won't appreciate as much. You might miss the, or you might wonder, I wonder if this is a character that ties into Breaking Bad, because it seems the way they introduced him was a big deal.
Yeah.
But what I appreciate, and I heard Peter Gould talk about this, he wanted the show to stand on its own.
Okay.
Obviously, loves Breaking Bad, respects the material.
Yeah.
I would say no. I think it can stand on its own. It's a slower burn than Breaking Bad, which may scare you initially. So I just tell you that caveat. The first season especially. But, dude, when the chess pieces are all on the table, it's just perfect.
But remember, part of my issue with Breaking Bad wasn't so much it was this weird combination of slow burn and not.
Yeah. Right?
Like Walter, when you're introduced to Walter, by the end of the first episode, he becomes the villain, essentially.
He does, yeah. It's pretty quick.
And so part of me wanted to see more of the good guy Walter and his deterioration.
Then you will love Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Actually, dude, that's
brilliant.
You mean
Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
Okay.
Better Call Saul. Okay. Better Call Saul. It'd have to both start with B's. Because that's a great point. Jimmy McGill, Saul, is so likable.
Okay.
And more likable than Walt.
Yeah.
And I think here's what happened. Breaking Bad 2008 was always on the edge of extinction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vince Gilligan had a story to tell. So I think the pilot, they get to it quickly. They want to set the premise. High school chemistry teacher dying of cancer. I'll use my brilliant chemical chemistry skills to make crystal meth.
Right.
Provide from a family. Boom. You're right in it. That's where Breaking Bad helps Better Call Saul, because they know the majority of the viewing audience kind of knows what's waiting for Jimmy in the future. So I think they just took the time to tell the story really well. And dude, it is just maybe the most satisfying TV I've ever watched. And it's just, you know, so dude, watch it. You'll say, hey, I watched the first six episodes of Better Call Saul. And I said, forget it. Part of it, dude, is Breaking Bad develops characters well, mainly in Walt, mainly in Jesse. Skyler gets some development, his wife. Like I said, Saul really doesn't get any development in Breaking Bad. And maybe the other character is Hank, who gets some development. He actually changes. So I would say there's only three. Better Call Saul, dude. Saul, Kim Wexler, Rhea Seehorn, who is amazing. One of my favorite actors now I've ever seen. Vince Gilligan's doing a new show with her as the star. All I know about it is has nothing to do with Breaking Bad. It's a whole new universe that's got a low-key sci-fi aspect to it.
Okay.
Because Vince Gilligan wrote, I found out, for The X-Files.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting, his background. He kind of dabbled in that. So it's kind of a return to his origin. But, oh my goodness, Michael McKean, who plays Saul's brother, who's you've seen in Spinal Tap and 100 other things, is just Howard. Howard is excellent. I'm thinking of some other characters that are coming to my mind. over the course of their six seasons. I actually think they did more character development than Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And the story is more intricate and well-balanced.
Okay.
And you know how I love Breaking Bad.
Right, yeah.
So I would just say I've been appreciating that show because Ben, my son, and his significant other are watching Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And she's really into it.
Yep.
So he's loving it, but he's been thinking, but Dad, I kind of can't wait to get to Better Call Saul. So he and I have been talking about things he's noticing from Breaking Bad, et cetera. So anyway,
right.
I nerded out too much.
No,
that was fun, dude.
That's great. Yeah. And so what I'll probably try to give Better Call Saul a fair shake, see how it goes.
Yeah.
Real quick, I do want to run into just some of the themes from the shows.
Some gospel connections, dude.
You know, talking about How I Met Your Mother. It's hard with shows like this because they're caricatures.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
You've got a person like Barney in real life.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any friends.
You're probably never hanging with Barney, but he works great on
a sitcom like this. Oh, dude,
it's like George Costanza.
Right.
If that dude's real, does he have any friends?
Right, or a job.
exactly. Yeah, where he works for Steinbrenner for the Yankees. But
right.
Yeah.
But what I will say is there are things, right, because the overarching story is, finding true love, right?
Yeah.
And what that means, the main character in that talks about that constantly. Like, I want someone to love and be loved by, right? And that's the human experience that we can all relate to, is that we were meant to be in community. We were meant to be with one another.
Yeah.
And so, you do see that theme that runs throughout that story.
Yeah.
Right? And there are very poignant moments of what happens when you're rejected by those people. What happens when you think this is the person that you can rely on and they're not? What happens when, you think you can rely on these people and you can't, and then, the people that are there to come beside you and support you.
Yeah.
And so I think, those themes of acceptance, rejection, those run throughout that series.
That's good, dude. Can I throw this out too? Just having watched some of it too. Not that they're intending to. Providence?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which they might perceive as luck or karmic forces in the universe. But clearly the show is telling a meta narrative that's going to lead somewhere.
Yes.
And how all these things led.
Yes.
To this
to
thing.
This in, to
yeah, sometimes the, yeah. just talking to somebody, like, do you ever think of, would you have met your wife if, what one decision could you have made? A pretty minor decision.
Yeah.
In my case, it's, my father-in-law would have stayed at Duke Power Company in Charlotte, North Carolina for another year where he would have been eligible for a better, as it turned out, where they moved, I probably never would have met Lisa.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes, conversation at work over coffee, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Right.
Rippling effects.
Yes.
So I think a show like that, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And what's funny is they do actually show those pieces throughout, right? There are episodes where it's like, okay, let me tell you where my life would have been had I made this decision rather than this decision.
Yeah.
And those are fascinating episodes to look at.
Yeah. I love it too, because providence, it's one of the few words where you see the Latin pro before video to see.
Mm-hmm.
To see before.
Yeah.
Right? That there's a plan. There's a thread that runs through it. That's cool, dude. Yeah, we might not do every show we've named.
Oh, yeah, no.
But I like that. For me, Better Call Saul.
Yep.
Dude. Again, the depravity of the human heart in the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
There are scenes, I don't want to give away, of really good characters making such bad choices that you simultaneously are angry at them for, yet understand and find yourself thinking, I would probably do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm mad at them for doing it.
Right.
And I could see myself doing it. And it's the only writer, as you know, that has had that effect on me is King.
Yes.
Who is not by his own admission, a believer.
Right.
But he gets human nature really well, or he just describes it well. And the show does that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if you're talking to somebody who loves that show. It's like, yeah, I could, do you ever feel like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
But I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it that show especially, there's if I tell any moment, it's too key of a piece to the story.
Yeah.
But Breaking Bad, that's in there too, but Better Call Saul, even my boys, I loved watching that with Ben and Isaac because we really had great discussions and just talked about the insidious, brilliant self-deception of the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you tell yourself
right.
while you're destroying yourself
yeah.
and other yeah. people. Dude, gold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now, of course, the show doesn't point us to a redeemer.
Sure.
But it sure, whether it's intending to or not, gives you a pretty good right. reason. I don't know about you.
Right.
I need help.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can't watch that because every character is affected.
Right.
There's not a character that just by their own moral goodness always rises above.
Right.
They don't.
Well, and that's, I mean, you know, teach apologetics to 11th graders. And that's one of the things that we talk about. Every world religion, every world system talks about the problem.
Yeah.
But there's only one that talks about the solution.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's, I mean, really, you know, shows are microcosms of people's worldviews, their philosophies, right? This is being acted out literally on a grand scale in yes. front of people. And if you don't have the assurance of, you know, Christ and salvation and that he was the one that rose above it all.
Yeah.
Right? He was the one that did the things that we could never do, the things that we should have done and didn't and couldn't do.
Exactly.
Then this is what we see, right? And those are the conversations that spark the interesting questions, right? So when you see that in talking with someone, so let me ask you, do you ever wish it was different?
Yeah, agreed. Right?
Pulling agreed. That out, it's like, you know, this is what we see. Do you ever wish that there was something different?
Yeah. Yeah, or a phrase that I heard a Christian counselor use again and again, just to drop some, yeah, the way of the sinner is hard.
Yeah.
The way of the sinner is hard. To almost put that pebble in the shoe, man, the way of the sinner is hard. I suck.
Yeah.
And man, you know, it's the phrase I've heard used for sucks to suck.
Yeah.
Two podcasts in a row, dude. I've dropped that near right. the end of the podcast. Must be bubbling up in my my brain bubbles here. But I, there's something very effective about that. Dude, that's kind of one of the goals of the old Shakespearean tragedies.
Yeah.
Macbeth, Hamlet, you just see these.
Right.
Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are definitely Shakespearean
in nature, yeah.
Tragedies,
yeah.
You know, ultimately, you just see this rise and fall. A lot of the big, like Sopranos, Mad Men, those shows tend to follow those kind of arcs, right? Where you see a person with access to power and control, and there's a season where things are really good.
Right.
And then never seems to last.
Yeah.
So many ways again, you know, that's why I love it. We're not just, I want to say to our audience doing this, oh, because it is fun.
Oh, sure.
Love talking about this stuff. But, you know, it's just another window
right.
to take scripture, to take people we're trying to reach and build relationships with and find ways.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Find connection points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's great. Well, my friend, we are running out of time.
We are, dude. So we went long, but I loved it.
We did, yeah. But you're right. It was good. Totally enjoyed it. Until the next time, we just rocked the Casbah.
Streaming style.
Thank you again for listening to These Go to 11, an unchurchy conversation about everyday faith. Once again, please make sure you like, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. And if you ever find yourself in the Forest Hill, Maryland area, please feel free to stop by at 135 Industry Lane, and you can get all of our service times and information at christfc.org.
These go to 11.